You know, it struck me as I was preparing for this Father's Day message that of all the many, many Father's Day messages I've preached here, I have never asked you to turn that I can remember to the first statement about fatherhood in the Bible, as far as I can tell, and that is in the Ten Commandments, where the Lord says here in verse 12, "Honor thy father and thy mother." Now, mother had her day earlier, so I'm just going to kind of concentrate here on honor thy father. Honor thy father, and it goes on and says, "That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word, that your word is unequivocal. Lord, that it is honest and straightforward. And God, that we need neither be ashamed of it, Lord, we just need to trust you with it and believe that it says what it means and means what it says. Lord God, I pray that you might teach us today how to honor our fathers. Dear Father, I pray for each preacher who is standing right now as I'm standing and will be and has been, that God, you might anoint each one of them so that they might teach the people under their hearing about how to honor a father and how, dear Lord, to receive the blessings that come as a result of that. Now, Father, thy will be done. We rejoice to call you Father, and it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. They taught us in Bible college that if you're not sure about something, always start out and say, "Well, there are two schools of thought on this." That means I'm not real sure what I'm about to say is right. However, I am sure what I'm about to say is right because I'm reading it from the Bible. The Bible says if you will honor your father, that the Bible says your days will be long upon the earth. I'm absolutely sure of that. There are no two schools of thought about it. It is just true. Now, there are two different interpretations of that. One of them says that your days will be increased or prolonged. That is, you'll get more days. That is, if you honor your father, you'll live longer. The other school of thought, which is the minority school, I really think, is that if you will honor your father, that you'll have better days and that they'll seem longer. Yes, there are actually folks who say that. However, if you look at the original language, it really doesn't allow that. What the scripture really is saying here is that you'll have more days, that you will live longer here. Now, isn't that a fascinating promise? God says that you will live a long time. I've listened to my dad, who was here a few weeks ago, all through my life talking about his father. And he would talk about how his dad was a good man, an honest man. Now, I happen to know, we're not even real sure that he was a saved man, but my father has honored him all the days of my father's life. And as a result of that, my dad is about, will be 92 before long, and was able to walk into this church. Now, isn't that interesting? The Bible says if you honor your father, you will live a long time. Now, I have to say that that is in the context of Scripture, all of Scripture. In other words, if you honor your father, that doesn't mean that you'll live a long time no matter what else you do. For example, if you honor your father and then go rob a bank, it is not going to go well with you. I promise you that. Your days are not going to be prolonged. You're going to have a hard time. There's actually an interesting addition to this Scripture over in Deuteronomy. God adds an additional blessing to it. Turn with me in your Bible over to Deuteronomy chapter 5. I want to show you what this says when Moses gives it the second time. He gives it at the first of their wilderness wanderings, and then he gives the law again 40 years later at the end of their wilderness wanderings. Deuteronomy means second law or the second giving of the law. And so, he gives it again, but he adds an additional blessing that's obviously from God. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. Now follow it and look for the additional blessing. It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee. Do you see it? He doesn't say that over in Exodus chapter 20, but in Deuteronomy chapter 5, he says, not only will your days be prolonged, not only will you have more of them, but the Bible says that it will go well with you when you do that. Now, what does he mean when he says, go well with you? What is that talking about there? Well, if you look up on the screen, the Hebrew word that is used for go well is up there. And if you look at it, and I'm going to step down in case I'm blocking anyone's view here, the Hebrew word that's used there for go well means to be good, to be pleasing, to be well, be glad, be joyful. That is the full Hebrew definition that you're looking at of that word. In other words, the Bible says that if you will honor your father, your life's going to be good. Now, isn't that a nice thought? Your life's going to be good. It's going to be pleasing, going to be glad, going to be joyful. Now, I can read English anyway, and when it says go well with thee, I assume all those things, but I want you to see that the Bible is very clear, and it's very clear when it was first written in Hebrew. When he says go well, he means go well. God says, absent any of these other factors, assuming you don't kill somebody, assuming you don't do something really stupid or violate the law in other ways, Scripture says it will go well with you. And so that's a very significant thing that you need to see. Now, I need to qualify this here, or really broaden it, not so much qualify it as to broaden it. What I'm about to preach to you is a lesson, if you will, not so much on the command to honor your father, but how to honor your father. Sometimes I think we give the command, but we never give the nuts and bolts that tell us how to do it. How do you honor your father? Second, I need to say that this command to honor your father is not a command just to the kids. It's like when we get in these services where the preacher's going to preach on this, we elbow that kid and say, pay attention to this. But I want you to notice that it does not say, honor your father, kids. But it just says, honor your father. Does that broaden it a little bit in your thinking? He says, honor thy father and thy mother. Now, if you look at that, it does not say, honor your father until you leave home. It does not say, honor your father until you marry. It does not say, honor your father until you become independent in some other way. I don't read that in my Bible. It says, honor your father, and the rest of it is wide open. In fact, here's a new idea that I kind of hesitate to say, and yet I see it here. I don't even read where it says you stop honoring your father when he dies. Do you read that? Ricky, that means that your dad, who loved you all his life, you still honor him today. What a tremendous thing it is when we realize the full scope of Scripture, that we are to honor our parents and we're to do it all of our lives, not just all of their lives, but all of our lives. The command is given to us. Now, how do you do that? Well, I want to share with you one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. It has been such a blessing to me. It's Genesis chapter 18. If you will, look over at that, Genesis 18 and verse 19. Genesis 18 and verse 19. When you get there, go ahead and begin reading it, because it'll take a moment to digest what it means. Genesis 18 and verse 19. Now, if you're a fast looker-upper, you probably already found that, and you're probably reading it right now. But take a break just a moment and look up at me and let me share something with you. The first way, I think, or that I would recommend that you begin to honor your father is to let him command you now and later in life. Let him command you now and later in life. Now, let's look at the Scripture and see if it holds up to that interpretation. Verse 19, for I know him, that is, God is speaking. He says, I know Abraham, that's who this is talking about, that he will command his children and his household after him. Now notice that, if you will. It says, I know that Abraham will command his children. Well, at this point, Abraham only has one child. He has Ishmael, which was not the child of promise. But God says, I know him that he will command his children, plural here. He will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Now, let's take that apart, if we can, and see what God says about it. Now, first of all, there is a command here that Abraham had over his children. There are few honors greater for a man than when he can command his children and they will voluntarily obey. In fact, if a man can command his children and those children will voluntarily obey, people will stop that man and his children in stores and ask him how he did it. Because it's so rare in our day. Now, there is something a little bit better than that, however, and that is when you not only have command of those children and have obedient children, but also when you have control. Did you know that there's a difference between command and control? In military, that's terminology from the military. The military has command of a situation when they can stand over it and with a threatening gun or a weapon or a cannon or whatever, they can make somebody do it in their presence. They have control of the situation when they can walk away from that and it's still under control. There is command and control. It is the same with parenting. It is one thing, men, when we can control children while we're growling and snarling at them and threatening them. It is an altogether different thing when they will honor us when we walk away and still do what we've told them to do, still act right. It's a totally different and separate thing. I find that many parents have command, but they do not have control. Now, young people, you can fix that. Now, it is true that your parents need to have trained you in that. That is true, but you can fix it. You can decide to honor your parents, and you can say, you know, I'm not only going to obey my dad while he's got his fingers shaking in my face, but I'm going, because I love him, I'm going to honor him, and I'm going to obey him when his back is turned as well. You can give your father no greater blessing than that, no greater honor than that. I've seen it done. I've seen it done in this church. I've seen those young people rise up, and they have come to independence, and yet they continue to obey Dad. They continue to honor him by their obedience. You can do nothing greater for your father than that, except for if you will follow him in spiritual things. The Bible here says that Abraham commanded his children after him, and that they would obey, they would keep the way of the Lord. The ultimate honor that a man or a woman shows their father is when they follow him in spiritual things. If he is a godly man, if he is a spiritual man, and they go along and they follow him in the same way that he led, they have honored that father beyond words. I look around here, Mike, and I think about the fact that you're here in exactly the same type church that you were reared in, a Bible-believing church. Here you are. You are honoring your father more than you can imagine. Jake, I think about you. Your father raised you in a Bible-preaching church, and here you are. You're honoring your father. You're honoring your father. Josh, where are you? You're honoring your father. Even Christian, I think about the fact that your father was saved later on in his life, and you took up the mantle, and you're following him. What a blessing that is, because they are commanding you even after them. It is such a blessing. In fact, you will find that it will go well with you. You will enjoy life more if you will honor your father. It's the strangest thing. I get great joy every time I cross a railroad track today. You say, what in the world are you talking about? I get great joy because my father was a mechanic. And he taught me when I was a kid, he said, now son, when you go across a railroad track and you have your foot on the brake, you're slowing down, he said, take your foot off the brake while you're crossing the railroad track. He said, it'll be easier on your brake hardware and your brakes will last longer. I'm 65 years old. My dad is 91. I still take my foot off the brake when I cross a railroad track because my dad trained me to do that. I honor him to this day. You say, why does that give you joy? I don't know except that God said it would. And it does give me joy. It gives me joy every time I clean the mechanic tools that he taught me how to use. Son, always wipe down the tools, clean them up, and put them back where they belong. I fall apart on that one a little bit, but... Command and control. You honor your father when you give him command and control. Abraham was able to do that because of sons like Isaac, who was willing to honor his father. Can I tell you something? You don't have to do it. You can continue the rebellion that gets in your soul when you're about 13 years old, and you can be a knothead all your life and be miserable. But God says if you want to have a good life and a happy life, lay down that rebellion and love that man and go on, and you'll be so much better off. Well, first way, let him command you. Now notice the verb, let him command you. Let him command you. It is a very, very powerful thing. Now I know I'm stirring up all kinds of thoughts in here. And that's part of my job, is to stir up your pure mind. You're thinking, how can I obey this? My father is dead. Well, okay. Let me give you the second one. And when I give you the second one, you're going to say, man, you're off base on this one. This is way, way out there. But I'm going to give you four scriptures that demonstrate that it's biblical. If you want to honor your father, are you ready for this? Cover his mistakes. I was just waiting to see if anybody walked out on that. Cover his mistakes. You say, Pastor, is that really? Are you really serious that we're supposed to do that? Cover his mistakes? Well, I want to lay before you the Word of God on this. Now, look at it, if you will. Four scriptures. Now, look at them. Number one, hatred stirreth up strife, but love does what? Covereth all sins. If you love somebody, you don't want to emblazon their mistakes across the skies. You want to cover those sins. By the way, that word that's used for sins right there is not crime-type sins. There are certain sins, crimes, that cannot be covered up, that cannot be concealed. That's not what this is. These are transgressions. These are things where somebody's gone too far beyond the law of God, but they've not committed a crime yet. Love covers up those kind of things. And then the second verse, Proverbs 17:9 says, he that does what? Covereth a transgression, seeketh love. In other words, he wants love to prevail among all the people that are involved. He wants to be loved back. He wants to love the person who has done wrong. But he that seeketh love covers a transgression. But he that repeateth a matter, do I even need to read that? You know what happens when people repeat a matter, don't you? I've had to deal with a situation this week where somebody was running their mouth, repeating a matter, and it caused problems. They didn't cover the transgression like the Bible said, and it just was an issue there. They separate close friends, very friends. It's what they do. Then look at these other two. Now, it gets even more significant here. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit does what? Concealeth the matter. He concealeth the matter. But the final nail in this, the final thing that nails it down, is what God does. What does God do? Does God conceal sins? Well, we ought to know that, because the Bible says that He takes our sins when we're saved and buries them in the deepest sea. He separates them as far as the east is from the west, from us. And then the Bible says that He remembers it no more. He will no longer remember your sin. We know that He conceals sins in that way, but what about those other kinds of sins? Now look at this. It is the glory of God to do what? Conceal a thing. God says very clearly, I do not expose every one of the sins of my children. Can you imagine if God came down on you or exposed you for every secret sin that you have? My goodness. I would get on a freight train and get out of here, wouldn't you? If God exposed all my sins, oh my goodness, let me out of here. I don't want anybody to know some of that stuff. But God is so gracious and God is so merciful that God Almighty, your Lord and your Master, conceals things. So, if God conceals some of our transgressions because He loves us, then what should we do to our fathers who we are to love? Should we not do the same thing? Should we be the ones who expose them to everybody else? Should we be the ones who point out their mistakes? I say that we certainly should not. In fact, God says that we certainly should not. We ought to conceal everything that we can conceal. If you love Him, you'll cover it up. Now, you say, why would you even preach something like that? Well, I'm burdened by something. I'm just really burdened by this. I'm convinced that we have these unreasonable standards for fathers. We have these unrealistic expectations for them in many cases. And many men, because they cannot live up to those unrealistic expectations, just toss it all aside and say, good grief, I can't satisfy anybody. I might as well just do what I want to do. And that is counterproductive for sure. It's fascinating. If you look at the context of those verses about Abraham, you know, back there in Genesis 18, when it was talking about Abraham commanding his children after him, if you look at the context there, that verse is sandwiched between Abraham's two greatest mistakes. In chapter 16, it talks about when Abraham went into Hagar. Do you remember that story? Sarah comes along, she's antsy, she wants this baby so badly, and so she's figured out this heathen way to get it done, and she brings in her maid, says, Abraham, go into my maid here and have a baby by her, and we can call it ours. And Abraham said, okay, I'll do that. And just really foolishly does that, a horrible mistake. He had to know when he went into that woman and saw that strange flesh. He had to know what he was doing, and yet he did it. That's in chapter 16, and over in chapter 19, it's when Abraham got scared because of a king named Abimelech who was kind of interested in his wife. And he said, oh, she's just my sister. That thing that God said about Abraham is going to command his children is between those two mistakes. And yet God saw Abraham's heart. He knew what kind of man he was. And he knew, now you got to get this, he knew that Abraham was being, learn the term, a momentary dope. You see that? God gave His servant, Abraham, He gave him the, how can I say this? I don't even know how to say it. God allowed Abraham, God understood that Abraham was going to have some momentary dope moments. Have you ever had one of those, Rick? I tell you what, I know the ladies don't, but we men have to go into momentary dope every once in a while. I mean, it's relaxing or something. I don't know. We're just going to do it. And sometimes we have these blind spots that we never do see. We may do them all of our life. I know men who have got this flashing temper. And they excuse it. They shouldn't excuse it, but they excuse it. It goes on all their life. And you know what comes as a result of that? If you do not give your dad, listen to me, a little room to be a momentary dope or to have some blind spot, you will end up bitter against your father all your life. You will end up bitter against your father all your life because you won't give him any slack. God gave Abraham some slack. God is gracious. Why don't you give Dad some slack? See, I don't have a dog in this fight. I'm a grandpa. We can get by with anything. I'm just fighting for the dads. See, we have these unrealistic expectations. If they ever make a mistake, we hold it against them. That's why mothers get all the Mother's Day cards and the man don't get nothing. I mean on Mother's Day. I mean on Father's Day. That's why. One reason. Beloved, look. God, if we would follow His example, if we would see God's wisdom, what wisdom there is in giving somebody a little slack and loving him anyway. There's not a marriage in this house that would have survived if that wife and that husband had not given their partner a little slack. The marriages that break up are the ones where they say, well, if that's the way you're going to be. The marriages that last are the ones that say, if that's the way you're going to be, I'm going to love you anyway. I'm going to love you anyway. Those are the ones that last. Because we're going to do something dumb. You ever done something really dumb? I got to tell you about this one. If I wasn't about to leave, I probably wouldn't tell this, but this church, I do not go into the, I try to ever say anything that's questionable. Anything that's a little off color, I just stay completely away from that. And y'all know it. After all these, you know I do that. I've heard preachers that'll kind of dip down into that, and I won't go there. But one day, Bonnie and I had moved out to Nicholson, and there was no walkway up to the front door. So we put in a walkway to the front door of our house, a concrete walkway. And when I got out there and laid it out, I laid it out a certain way. And Kara, when we got it done, my oldest daughter came and she said, Daddy, she said, I love the way that driveway curves around, like or the walkway curves around like that, goes around the shrubbery and does this and then curves back in. She said, I love the way you did that. Well, I like that too. I put that in there because I liked it. You know, I just liked the way it just looked so graceful and all. And so when I was describing it to Bonnie, I described it a certain way. And then later on when Kara was standing there, I said, yeah, Kara, y'all ready for this? I said, yeah, Kara, I just kind of put that kind of sexy curve in it right there. Thomas, as soon as I said that, my heart went up into my throat. I thought, how far back did I go into my wicked past to get that phrase? And Kara looked at, my oldest daughter looked at me, who was 35 years old by that time, had never heard her dad, and she said, Daddy, I can't believe you said that. And I said, Kara, I can't believe I said it either. I don't know where that came from, but I actually did. I knew it came from way back there in the past. But I said that. It just popped out. Now, Kara looked at me, and she said, I couldn't believe it either. But I'm just here to tell you, that's exactly what I said. I said it just as plain as day. I can't deny it. It's on record both in my daughter's mind and in heaven. I said it, no doubt about it. Momentary dope. Momentary wrong. Now, thankfully, our children learned early on the principle of forgiveness, the principle of giving a little slack. And they knew that. And so she just walked away shaking her head. Said, I can't believe my dad said that. Momentary dope. You have to understand that. And give them, so anyway, number two, if you want to honor your father, make sure that you defend him, that you cover his transgressions. Now, Kara has never told that story. That's the first time anybody's ever heard that story, as far as I know. You've heard it here, and I want to confess publicly before I left. All right, number three. If you want to honor your father, develop respectful manners toward him. Develop respectful manners toward him. Now, look in your Bible, if you will, over in Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. You say, respectful manners, preacher. What are you talking about? Are you talking about those tea room manners where you have to stick your little pinky up like that at just the right time? Is that what you're talking about? Not at all. I'm talking about the manners that make us respectful toward those that we ought to respect. Just general manners, common sense ways that you show respect. Here's one of them. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32 says this, "Thou shalt rise up before the," what does he say? "The hoary head." Now, hoary means gray. Now, by the time you come along, kids, more than likely, Dad's going to have a little bit of that going on in his hair. He's going to have a little bit of hoary, a little bit of gray going on in his hair, and it's going to get worse, I tell you that, as he goes along. And Scripture says that one of the ways that you respect your elders in general, and since your father is your elder, one of the ways you do that is that you rise up when he comes into the room. This is fascinating when you think about it. You say, why would God choose that way to demonstrate manners that you should have towards your parents? Why would he do that? Well, if you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Because it takes energy to rise up, doesn't it? And by giving that energy to your parent when they walk in the room, you are saying, you are worth it. You have value to me. You are worth me standing up. You know, it's interesting. If the governor were to walk into the room, typically we would rise up, wouldn't we? If the judge comes in, they say, all rise. It is a symbol of respect in our culture, and it was back in those days as well. And God says, look, when the hoary head comes in, and by the way, it talks in that same verse about the old man, an old man. The term used for old man right there has two meanings. It refers to his age, and then it refers to his authority. So this is talking specifically about someone who is older and has authority over you, both of which your father would have. And so he says, when your dad comes in, you rise up in his presence. I very seldom see this done today, but can you imagine the impact that would have if that were done? If every time Dad came in, the kids stood up. Wow. You talk about people, the unsaved, beating a path to your door. That would cause them to beat the path. And think about it, young people. You have the power to do that. You have the power to bring that kind of honor to your father where people seek him out and say, what in the world are you doing? How did you make that happen? They're trying to keep their kids just from yelling back at them. And yours are standing up in your presence? You want to honor your father. And by the way, those of you who still have parents who are alive, as I'm blessed to have, stand up. Get up. Show some respect. Show some honor. Develop some manners toward them. And by the way, that is just the first thing that comes to mind. Think about ways that you can honor your parent just by simple gestures that you use. I was thinking about that. I thought, well, what would that be like? Well, that would be like not interrupting them. You know, you reach a point in life where you think you know more than they do. Kill that thought. Get rid of that thought. And when they speak, you listen. Most of you know Pastor Butch Lee, my closest friend in the world. I've known Brother Lee for 58 years. And we were kids together. And we did a lot of bad things together at one time, but Lord straightened both our lives out. He pastors down there, I pastor up here. He's a fine man. But Butch was also one of the toughest guys I ever met in my life. He earned his name Butch early on. I mean, he really did. I've seen him whip several guys at the same time. I mean, it's just that kind of deal when we were in high school. He was rough. He was tough. Well, but I watched him. His dad's name is Watson. And one time between churches, I was doing construction. Now, Brother Norhue, you'll appreciate this. I was doing construction. We were sweating like little piggies. And Brother Butch was kind of aggravated. He was over there beside me. He was kind of aggravated. And his father walked up, and I watched him. Butch was talking. His father walked up, and as soon as his father spoke, Butch went, Just shut up. Now, physically, he could have whipped anybody inside, which good. But when his father came up, he honored him. He shut up. One of the most honoring things that you can do is when dad speaks, is to just shut up. Just shut up. My dad has dementia. He's confused. But if I can, when he speaks, I shut up. But God had to show me that. Because there was a time when, just like so many of you have been through, I thought I knew it all. When you speak, shut up. Just be quiet. Listen. Did you know when you read Proverbs, the number one characteristic of a wise man is that he hears? He listens. He listens. Dad might just know something too. He might just know something. When my dad first started getting dementia, we were doing something. He kept telling me, he said, "Now, son, maybe we ought to do it this way." Well, it was something I knew how to do. And I said, yes, sir. And I was just trying to get around him. And as I was trying to get around him, I realized something. He was right. He actually knew dementia. And he knew better than I did with dementia. That doesn't speak very well, does it? But that's the way it was. Just hush. Number two, don't interrupt. Don't interrupt when he's talking to somebody else. Just don't do that. Just don't do that. Honor him. I remember my dad had a friend named Mr. Tom. I was not named after him. This guy talked incessantly. He would come to see my dad and they would start talking. I'd want to ask dad something. And I would stand there beside him. Mr. Tom was talking. My dad was listening. Talk. And I'd stand there. We were taught that you don't interrupt adults. Just don't do that. We just taught that. Just don't interrupt. And I sat there. But you know what? That old fellow, Mr. Tom, he'd give me money every time he got through. He'd reach in his pocket. Back in the days when a quarter was really something, he'd pull out a quarter and give me a quarter. Made a lot of money that way. All right. Listen, don't interrupt adults. When he speaks, be silent. Rise up and say, "Yes, sir." You know, when I was a kid, it's interesting. My parents were not real authoritarian. Well, my mother was, but my dad was not real authoritarian. And so my dad didn't make me say, "Yes, sir." And now I had to do what he said, but he didn't make me say, "Yes, sir." And so as we grew up there, I hit that point. I remember hitting that point where I was about 13. I was becoming a man. Y'all know what a hard moment that is. It's stupid on steroids. I mean, it really is. At least it was in my life. Maybe it's not in yours. But I was fighting so hard to become a man. And so back in those days, we'd been watching a little too much James Dean, and we were, we were all trying to be cool. And you called your dad, if you were really cool, you called him your old man, the old man. Horribly disrespectful. But that's the way it was. So I was over at one of my friend's house one day. He happened to be my pastor's son. Now, you might think he was a good guy, but you would be wrong. He's the guy who taught me how to be a hypocrite in church, how to sing in the choir and then chase the devil the rest of the week. Well, and then we both became very good at it. And I'm ashamed of that chapter in my life, but it's very true. But there was one thing that he would not do, and I found it out one day. I went over there, and I was talking, and I was grumbling about something my dad had made me do. And I said, "My old man," like that. And he was just watching me. And then he spoke, and he said, "Well, Daddy always told me," and he spoke so respectfully about his father. I said, "You traitor. You know, we're supposed to be in this rebellion thing together, and I'm bad-mouthing my dad, and you..." But then suddenly, conviction just swept over my old backslidden heart. See, I was really saved. I knew better than that. And conviction swept over me, and I thought, you know, he does have a good father, but I do too. What am I doing? And from that moment on, even in my backsliding, I said, I'm going to honor my father. Those words will never come out of my mouth again, and they haven't come out of my mouth again. I hope disrespectful words toward your father haven't come out of your mouth. And if they have, you need to repent today, right now. Don't even wait on the invitation. Repent right now. Honor your father, that your days may be prolonged, that it may be well with thee. Honor him. Scripture gives such horrific warnings about disrespecting father and mother. It says, the eye that despiseth to obey his father, it says the young eagle shall come and peck it out. God wants our respect. He wants obedience and respect. And by the way, Scripture is very clear about things. I've seen pictures of people who died in wickedness. The man who worked at the coroner's office was a very dear friend of mine, and he used to love to gross me out with pictures. I've seen what happens. And sometimes that seems so very literal. The eye gets pecked out. Honor thy father. Would you bow your heads just a moment? With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I give this invitation to everybody, whatever age you are. Is it time for a new dedication in your life to honoring old dad despite his mistakes? Loving him, giving him some slack, showing some manners that reflect the fact that you love him and honor him? Is it time to do that? You see, our actions preach very loudly, don't they? Preach very loudly. Like the lady Matt was talking about, who looked into that camera and looked toward that person who had just murdered her loved one, and she said, I forgive you. Turn to Jesus, he'll forgive you. Her action spoke so loudly. I don't know what kind of Christians they are down there, but that kind of Christianity appeals to me. Your actions would too. Young people, make up your mind today. I will honor my parents. No matter what happens, I will honor them. I will speak well of them from this moment on. My dad, I'll speak well of him. Tell God that right now. I think this invitation needs to be very personal between you and God. Confess it. God, I'm sorry. I've gone wrong on this. Now we're going to stand in just a moment. Musicians are going to play. And these altars and these front pews are open for you to come and kneel. We'd encourage you to do that. It helps me sometimes. It seems like it just seals things when I come before God and man, just kneel down. It's a smack in the face of my pride to do it. Maybe yours too. Altar's going to be open here. But do business with God. Now, if there's someone here who does not know beyond any shadow of a doubt that he or she is saved, that's an altogether different matter. Has there been a time when you have personally believed on Jesus and received the forgiveness of your sin? Have you been saved? Do you know that for sure? If you can't say that, but you sense that God is talking to you, pricking you about that, That's the word Scripture uses, pricks you. You feel that pulling, drawing, almost guilt thing going on. The conviction of the Spirit. That means you need to be saved. If there's someone like that here today, would you let someone help you? Would you let someone take an open Bible and show you from the Bible how you can know when you leave today that you are a saved person, that your sins are forgiven? God says you can know you're saved. 1 John 5:13 says that clearly. You can know. You can know today. I want to invite you to do that. I'll be waiting right up here at the front. All the heads will be bowed, eyes will be closed. I want you to meet me right here. If you'd say, you know, preacher, I'd like for you to get somebody to talk to me. Show me how I can know that I'm saved. We have a lady who can talk to you ladies. We have men who can talk to you men. Children, we have plenty of folks to talk to you. Father, help us now to be honest and open with you in Jesus' name. Amen.